the children's education building. You get 550 people in there, and it doesn't take long to heat up and start stinking, does it? Hey, you get all those people that are crammed up in that building. These kids had a blast. We want to reach our community however we can. We just want to show them the love of Jesus. We want to tell them, but we also want to show them. So invite a friend to this event, to this comedian event that we're going to have. We'll get more information to you. And as we roll into Easter Sunday, what a time it is to celebrate just the goodness of God. If you look in your bulletins, there's going to be an outline where you can follow along with me this morning. And I want to take just the next few moments and talk to you about a fresh new start. I believe that there's something that God wants to teach us. Two things I believe that God wants to tell us, but then I think there's just a couple things that he wants to give us, some guidelines, if you will, three things on getting a fresh new start. How many of you are thankful that you get second chances? You get a fresh new start. Have you ever messed up with your spouse? Don't raise your hand, because I know that's nobody here anyway. But if you did, isn't it good when you get a second chance to kind of make it right? You screwed up at work, you made a mistake that cost the financial blunder, or maybe something broke or whatever. Isn't it great that they gave you a second chance? Isn't it great to know that even though you live in a sin world, God gives you his redemption, his forgiveness? And he says that I'm going to give you, it's not just about a second chance, it's about God saying, I want to give you a fresh new start. So let me say, first of all, if you're here today and you think you have screwed up so bad that God could never love you, that is the furthest thing from the truth. God loves you so much. There is nothing you can do that will stop God from loving you except you making that decision not to love you, not to love him. So I believe there's a few things that God wants to speak to us this morning. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to refer over to Psalms 44 this morning as we take a look of the story and what took place. But I kind of want to focus just a little bit different this morning. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the others went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and he rolled back the stone, and then he sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he," what? "Has risen." He's risen. "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you in Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Verse 9, "And behold, Jesus met and took hold of, and Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings,' and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There is where they will see me.'" You know, this morning I believe that there's something that we can learn from what the angels spoke, and he wants to speak to us today. And I got thinking about the greatness of this day. You know, around the world today, many people are celebrating what Easter is, but they celebrate it in many different ways. But for so many people, you can still miss the true meaning of what Easter is. There's many epitaphs on tombstones. You ever walk through a graveyard? I know Springdale's one of the... Now, it's not like I walk through graveyards a lot, but if I were to, I'd go to Springdale. And you want to know why? Because they get the tombstones that rise up out of the ground, and they're all different shapes and sizes. They've got different sayings on them, and they're nice to walk around and to look at. And I thought, if Jesus was dead, which he is not, what would be his epitaph? What would be written there? You know, because some of us have some crazy ones. Let me just share a couple with you I found. Go ahead and throw that first one up there. "He loved bacon." Oh, and his wife and kids too, it says in small print if you can't read that. And I thought, who would actually put that on their tombstone? Look at the next one here. "Here lies good old Fred. A great big rock fell on his head." R.I.P. I thought, okay, throw the next one up there. "I told you I was sick." That's got to be one of my favorites. There's another one. Throw that one up there. "Here lies Clyde. His life was full until he tried to milk a bull." That will do it. Hey, one of my favorites that I laughed at was just, it's their last name. Oh, no. I'm sure it's pronounced a little different, but it made me laugh. And I thought, what would be, I often wonder what would be the epitaph on Jesus' tombstone. We find that it's not written on a tombstone because he's risen. He's not dead. He's very much alive. But there is something that he does speak and is spoken through the voices of the angels. Early in the morning, two women came to where Jesus' body had been left in, and two angels appeared. And we just read it, that the angels said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen." There's two things that he tells us through the voices of these angels. Number one is this: fear not. I believe if he was to speak something to you and I this morning, he would say, "I've paid a price so you don't have to live in fear." You know, in our society today, fear is one of the most controlling factors in our life. We either make decisions to do or not to do things, not necessarily based on wisdom or what God says, but based on fear of what the results are. I don't know if I want to quit this job and go to that one because I'm afraid I might not get better pay. I don't know if I want to commit to this relationship because I'm afraid I might not be fulfilled or happy. I'm afraid that I might not be successful. I'm afraid they might not do what I want them to do. Whatever it is, you can fit it in there. Many times we let fear be the dictating factor in our life, but God comes and says, "Fear not." Many of us can face fear in more tragic situations. Maybe you get a report from a doctor, and the doctor says one thing. You know what God says? He still says the same thing. Fear not, because he's overcome the world. When Jesus died, he went and he took the keys to death and hell. That means that we don't have to face death. And we talked about that over the last few weeks through the Infinity and Beyond series. But you see, if Christ, if his bones were laying there somewhere in the ground, decaying somewhere in a grave, then our world would still be in a hopeless state. It would be in a hopeless state. But because of the resurrection, the tragedy of the crucifixion has turned that moment into a triumphal thing. We just celebrated that here today. We get to celebrate the freedom of Christ and how great that is because of the price that he paid. You know, too often on Easter, we focus our attention on the cross and the sacrifice Jesus made of our redemption. And I'm not trying to downplay that to say that we shouldn't, but there's something to learn because he appeared to over 500 people at the same time, it says in the Bible. So today, instead of concentrating on the words before the cross, we're going to take a moment and look at the words that God spoke after the cross, after he rose from the dead, because after his resurrection, it says that he appeared to the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he presented himself alive. Now, you got to catch that. That's important. He didn't just present himself. He presented himself alive. In other words, Christ is not dead. He's alive. He did die. He was buried, but he rose again. And that's what makes all the difference between a decision to follow Christ and any other religion that you can find in this world. So those who were still alive, it says also that he presented himself, 1 Corinthians 13, to over 500 brethren still alive, it says in the scriptures. So what he's saying is if you don't believe, at this time when he was speaking, he said, if you don't believe the fact that I died and rose again, I can point out some people who are still alive that can be a witness and attest to the fact that I died, I was buried, and I rose again. Throughout the scriptures, he puts the focus on the fact that he's alive, and because he is, he says, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. I would guess that some of us here today, we love the idea of God. We love that there is a God. We acknowledge there is a God, but there's a fear that holds us back from experiencing a true relationship with a living God. You know, these two words that he speaks, fear not, they're words that we certainly need to hear. Throughout scriptures, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, go and I will be with you. He constantly tells them to fear not because he will be with them throughout the ages. Today, as I've already said, this world is full of fear. We all struggle with it. Fear is everywhere. It's in our job. It's in our economy. It's in our government. It's in our homes. Fear of things that might happen, or I'm afraid that this thing's just going to explode. Fear is everywhere. But do you remember how in Scripture we read about Jesus being with his disciples in a closed room? It says this in Luke chapter 24, verse 36. If it's not there, you can jot that down. And it says this, that when he appeared to his disciples, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled, it says, and they were frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And as he said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Why is there doubt rising in your heart? The disciples, they had to have been terrified. They had to have been scared. Now, let me back up and kind of explain when it says Jesus appeared. Poof, he appeared. If you were in a room and Jesus just all of a sudden appeared, what would you react? How would you react? I don't know about you, but I think that if Jesus just decided one day to appear in a room, I might have to change my pants or something. I mean, that would be kind of a scary experience. And here they're scared. And he says, why are you scared? Don't be fearful. I told you that I was going to rise again. Don't let fear rule your heart. You know, God is going to show up in our lives. He wants to make himself very real to you and to me. But if we embrace fear more than we embrace him, we'll see less of him and more of circumstances. We'll see more of crisis. We'll see more trauma. We'll see more tragedy. We're going to see that anyway, because the Bible says in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because God rose from the dead and said, fear not. He said, fear not. There's a second thing he spoke. And he said, not only fear not, but he said, I want you to know this. You can believe. You can believe. The Bible says that he has given faith to every man, to every woman, every boy, every girl. You know, but if we let fear be the thing that controls our life, we're going to miss out on the best that God has for us. He says, fear not, and you can believe. You know, I remember, you ever have something fearful in your life that you can remember, maybe identify with, that kind of controlled your actions? I'm afraid to do this because I remember years ago when Seth, my son, was, I don't even know how old he was, I'm going to guess a year old, but he had a situation that went on where he started bruising all over his body. It didn't matter what you did, you could just touch him and a bruise would form. Lisa or I, one of the two, I think it was me, I was holding him, and everywhere that there was a button and I had him laying against there, when I moved him back, there was a bruise wherever the buttons were. We had to go to the hospital. There's a problem. I mean, it's obvious there's something going on, but I've got two problems. Problem number one, something's wrong with my son. Problem number two, because it's bruising, as soon as I take him to the hospital, what are they going to think? Huh? What are they going to think? They're going to think I'm beating my kid. And now I'm afraid to take him to the hospital because I don't want them to accuse me of something that I'm not doing, but yet I love my son and I don't want him to suffer, so what do I do? And there was a fear that entered in right there. And I thought, I don't know what to do is. It became clear. Now, this is all happening like this, okay? It's not like I called the council meeting and said, what do you think? It's just happening like this. You know what's right to do, but sometimes when fear steps in, you still have to do that. I wanted to choose the health of my son over the fear in my heart, so we took him to the hospital. Sure enough, they went and they gave him tests, and they were working on him, and they did fear that I was hurting my son. And they were getting ready to call the police. Isn't that just great? You know, this fear was gripping my heart. What? How is this going to turn out? Because I'm worried about my son's health. I'm not. I know I'm not hitting my son, but I know they've got a job to do too. And the long story short was, eventually they took him for X-rays. Being 1 year old, you don't sit still for anything, right? And so if they want to do X-rays on a 1 year old, they got to strap him down. So they put a strap across his head, down that way and along the sides, and had them all buckled in, and they did the X-rays. But then when they took the straps off, everywhere there was a strap, there was a bruise. And they learned very quickly, okay, he's not hurting his kid. There's legitimately something wrong here. Now imagine if I let fear rule my heart. Imagine if I decided that, you know what, I don't want them to think that I hurt my kid, so I'm going to choose to be in a safe place, or at least what I call safe, even at the expense of my child, so that nobody else can ever know. That would be such an error in my decision-making, because there was something going on within his body where he needed healing. Do you know, many of us let fear control our lives, and God says, fear not. And not only fear not, but you can believe, because some of us here today say, I don't know if I can believe or trust God for a good outcome. I mean, I don't know. If I take that step of faith, what if it blows up in my face? Can I say this? Sometimes the things that you're facing need to blow up. Not because he wants to bring pain in your life, but he wants to destroy that so he can give you a fresh new start. We all need these fresh new starts. But he says it starts with believing in him. In the book of John chapter 20, it says that Thomas was a man who though he believed, he was a doubter. Remember, we call him Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas was one who said, I want to believe, but I cannot believe until I see with my own eyes and I'm able to touch him with my own hands. It says in John chapter 20, verse 26, that Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and he stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen, yet still believe. Do you know that's you and me today? We haven't seen his hands. Anyone here see the scars in Jesus' hands? We haven't seen them physically, intangibly. But he says, blessed are those, even more so, who believe even when they don't see. If you believe today, he says, you have the capacity to do that. And there is more of a blessing that comes into your life. Jesus came through the walls. He appeared in this locked room and presented himself. Do you know, you may have some things in your heart that's all locked up. You're trying to keep others out. You're trying to keep God out. But Jesus has a way of appearing in the middle of your mess. Do you know that? I don't care what you do. I spent years trying to keep people at bay. I spent years keeping God way out there and stiff-arming him, thinking that I could somehow manipulate God. You know, if God wants to appear in the midst of my mess, he can. And if God wants to appear in the midst of yours, he can. The question is will you believe? Or are you going to embrace fear? He tells us that we can believe, we can trust in him. We don't have to go through life like Thomas doubting, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. We don't have to live that way. We can come to a place in our life where we can believe and have this fresh new start. That's what Easter is all about. That's why he sent his son to die, is because he knew that we were headed for a Christless eternity. And aren't you thankful that he paid the price so that you can have that place eternally with God? I am. But many times we're not happy about that until we come to that place. Maybe we take things for granted right now where we're living. God says, listen, don't let fear control your life. Choose to believe in what I'm doing and watch. Some of us here today, we need a fresh new start. Maybe you're walking with the Lord, but you need a fresh new start in your thinking or your perspective. Maybe some of you are here today and you're not walking with Christ. You think sometimes God's mad at you. God's not happy with me. No, God loves you. He just says, I want to give you a fresh new start. Are you here today and you have doubts? Christ wants to be your Savior, but the question is what does it mean to have this fresh new start? Psalms 44, verses 1 through 3 tells us about this fresh new start that God gives to each and every one of us. It's at the top. Read this with me, will you? Ready? Go. We've been hearing about this God all our lives. Our fathers told us the stories their fathers told them. How single-handedly you weeded out the godless from the fields and planted us. How you sent those people packing, but gave us, he gives a fresh start. The Word of God says that he'll give you and me a fresh start. And not only does it say he'll give us a fresh start, but he'll send the enemy packing. Some of us have wanted to see the enemy pack his bags and leave, but we've been trying to speak in our own strength to tell the enemy to go. And that doesn't always work. It takes the Word of God. It takes his Holy Spirit. He says, I'll give you a fresh new start. A fresh new start or a new beginning. It's something we all need from time to time in life. So this Easter, as we revisit this great turnaround, know this, that God empowers and enables us and says, you can have all that I have for you. I'll give you that fresh new start. All you have to do is choose him instead of fear. Let Christ be the one who rules your heart. Because with him, you can do all things. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He presses toward the goal of the greater calling. You know, one of these days, I'll bring the picture, but I was having, you ever go through seasons in life where you just, you feel heavy in your heart? You know what I'm talking about? Anyone here, or is it just me? Oh, just me? Okay. Yeah. You have that heaviness. Things aren't going your way. Things don't always seem to work out the way you want them to. It seems like no matter what, if you stay up, everything's down. If you stay left, everything goes right. Yet you know you're where God's told you to be. And I was going through one of those seasons, and I remember driving down the road, and we had just come through a storm. It was really black, and it was really dark. And as we kept driving, we eventually left that blackness, and the sun started to shine. And we were in that one moment where up in front of me, it's bright could be, and right behind me, it's black as black could be. And so I grabbed my phone, and I rolled down my window, and I took a picture. And I know you're not supposed to do that while you're driving, but forgive me. But I took the picture because it so spoke to my heart, because in front of me, out of the front windshield of life, there was sun shining. And in the little rearview mirror, it was all black. And it just spoke to me and said, you know what? You're going to have those moments of darkness, you know, dark times, heaviness. But God will let his sun so shine in such a way that you will see his the Father. And it will bring glory to him through your life. So what does this fresh new start mean? Proverbs 24:16 tells us that if you fall, get back up. It says, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumbles in times of calamity. You see, you're not a failure in life when you fall. We're all going to fall. We're all going to make mistakes. It's only when you don't get back up, that's when you don't become successful. That's called failing forward. God loves you and I so much, he doesn't want to leave us this way. He tells us in Psalms 103, he says, I know your frame. I know that you're mere dust. He says, so I will come and I will walk with you and I will give you that fresh new start. So what does this fresh new start look like? What is it that God is trying to teach us? Because God still wants us. We all know that God's here all the time, right? Yeah? 20 people know that. The rest of you need to. God loves us with an everlasting love. Do you know that? Do you know that God forgives? Okay, so do you know that when you make a mistake or you fail and fall down, that he just wants you to get back up? See, that's part of the Christian life. Many of us think that a Christian life means perfection. We walk, and if we ever fall down, that's it, game over. But that's the way we think in our human mind. That's not the way God thinks. He says, I want to give you a fresh new start so that when you fall down, you learn to get back up. I've shared it before, but it's like when I was teaching my kid to ride a bike or when I was learning to ride a bike. How many of you remember that? You ever wipe out the first five times, skinned up your knees? So did you, the first time you wiped out, did you throw your bike away and give up? No. You may not have got on the bike right away, but eventually you got back on the bike. Why? Because you wanted to learn how to ride a bike. You wanted to go faster and further than you could with your own two feet. So it is with God. He says he wants you to go faster and further than you ever could with your own two feet. And if you fall down, get back up. You know, you make a mistake, go back, and it's called repenting before the Lord. Don't rehash, don't rehearse, don't do all that. Just repent and get back up. And God says that he will lead you and guide you. You know, talk about turnarounds in the Bible. Jesus came to earth personally to solve our sin problem. Yet he was rejected by the masses we see in the Bible. He was betrayed by a friend. He was deserted by his followers, then tortured and killed. And at that point, it looked like almost what we were looking at was a damnable Friday. But something happened that changed everything in that moment. It's when Jesus went to the cross and turned it to Good Friday. You see, the price that he paid allowed us to come to a place where we can have that fresh new start. What does that mean? Well, number one, in your outlines, write this down. And I'm just going to share this with you quickly, and we're going to be done. A fresh new start means he gives you a clean slate. How many of you would like, and don't raise your hand, but you'd like that clean slate? You know the choices you've made recently, and they haven't maybe been right. God says, I'll give you a clean slate. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you wanted the old to pass away and you want to see a new season in your life, let him bring that clean slate into your heart and into your life. It happens when you confess him as your Savior. 1 John 1:9, let's read it together in the bottom there. Ready? Go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. No, not some, all. It says that if we confess, he is faithful each and every time. You know why we have a hard time with this verse? It's because many times we're not faithful to forgive everybody. We remember how people have hurt us. We remember the wrong things they've done. But God says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful each and every time. And he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, what we have to learn in this when we get a clean slate is this, and it's in your outlines. A fresh start without a clean slate won't last. If you want to have a fresh new start in a relationship with Christ, without a clean slate, it's not going to last. In other words, you can't fake it to make it. You can't pretend and put on the Christianese language and somehow think that you've tricked God because on the outside you're saying the right things and dressing the right way and toting your Bible and I showed up because God looks at your heart. He says, when I give you a fresh new start, I give you a clean slate that affects the inside and works itself to the outside. He wants to rearrange our life in such a way by giving us a clean slate. But that clean slate says, I give it to you with two conditions, and that's this. He says, you have to take responsibility, and you have to be willing to change direction. You have to be willing to take responsibility. Do you know how many of you as parents have longed for the day, and you saw it when your children started taking responsibility? You know, you give them chores, you tell them to do something, and they don't do it, and then you can't let them do it because they didn't take the responsibility to do it. Now you're the mean person who's telling them no, and they're mad at you when really they did it to themselves because they were unwilling to take responsibility. Happens, doesn't it? I remember as a kid not getting to do some things, and then I tried to learn not how to take responsibility, but I tried to manipulate and go around the system and do it another way or get what I wanted by taking a shortcut. And it never worked. Or at least if I got what I wanted, it wasn't long before I didn't want what I got. You know, God says, don't take shortcuts with me. He says, just come to a place where, he says, I give you a clean slate and learn to take responsibility. Some of us here today, our growth is dependent upon the fact that we take responsibility in our walk with Christ. When we take responsibility, he says, then you've got to be willing to change directions. You know, that's what repentance is all about. Repentance is just changing your direction. You were going this way, and it was wrong. I'm now repenting and turning and going the other way. Too many times, we get hung up, and we rehash, we redo, we rerun memories in our minds. He says, just repent. How many of you have been stuck, and these are rhetorical questions, which means don't raise your hands, but you get stuck thinking about who you had been and how much God could never love you, that you stay stuck. Fear keeps you there. He says, I want to set you free from that. I want to give you a clean slate and change that direction. So he gives us a clean slate. But number two, if you write this down, he also wants to give us a new game plan. A new game plan. Too many times we've been trying to call the shots. How many of you guys are football fans? Any football fans? You ever watch football, a football game where they play outside of the lines? You ever see a football game where a guy catches a touchdown and runs out of the sideline, up the stands, out to the parking lot, down the other side of the parking lot, back in through the other end zone, talking touchdown? Doesn't happen, does it? Because life has to happen within the guidelines of what's been created. So it is in life. God tells us that he wants to give us a clean slate, but he says, I want to give you a new game plan too, which means that there's going to be some boundaries. There's going to be some areas in life where you're going to have to work harder at not manipulating what to get what you want, but playing within those boundaries. God says in Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, the way you're going to learn this is, he says, my son, don't forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do you know, this is a perfect prescription right here. How many of you guys would like to live long? Yeah? You want to live long? There you go. Don't forget his teachings. Keep his commandments. And he says, I promise that I will lengthen the days and the years of life. And you will have peace. How many of you would like peace? We probably would all raise our hands to that one. We all want some more peace in our life. He says, this new game plan I have for you when you come to salvation is understanding that I will lay out for you a strategy to receive that. Keep his commandments. Don't forget his teachings. But how are we going to accomplish this? It seems so hard. Well, he tells us in the next few verses, he says, just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not some of it, not a portion, but all of it. And do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Familiar portion of scripture, but how many times have we been guilty of leaning on our own understanding instead of leaning on him? God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Write this down in your outlines. It's there. A fresh start without a new game plan always produces the same old results. It's always going to produce the same old results. Are you tired of the same results? Let God give you a new game plan. The big decision this morning that you'll have is, do I trust God's advice or do I trust my best judgment? The choice is always ours. We need a clean slate. We need a new game plan. And then thirdly, we need the power to keep going. We need the power to keep going. Philippians 1:6, excuse me, says right up here, let's read this one together. Go. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I will give you what you need to run the race that's set before you. He says, I will take care of this. We just need to choose to trust in him. A fresh start without the power to keep going, you know what that is? It's just good intentions. You know, some of us have great intentions, but that's as far as it ever goes. We never get to the point of fully obeying what God has for us. Now, let me close with this. You know, it was during the Battle of Waterloo that a man, he stood on top of a great cathedral in London, and he was like a man who stands on an aircraft carrier, one of them flagmen that they use the flags to signal and communicate what is going on. And the whole city of London was anxious to know how things were going. All were wondering if the Duke of Wellington, and this is a piece of history in the past, could he defeat Napoleon? The man stood on that cathedral watching the signals from the battlefield, and he was relaying the news back and forth to the people. And when he received a message, he waved the flags and he was signaling out to the people of London a report on the battle that was taking place. He received news, and as he waved the flags, the people of London looked, and they could barely see through the fog because there's a lot of fog that takes place there. And the message they were able to see was, Wellington defeated. And they couldn't believe it. Their hearts sank. But then there was a break in the fog, and they saw the rest of the message, which said, Wellington defeated Napoleon, and the entire nation of England rejoiced. You know, when Jesus died, the message came to the disciples. Jesus defeated. And there was 3 days for the fog to clear before they were able to see what the full message was, which was Jesus defeated Satan. And he has been given the victory. Do you know that we can rejoice today because of the great battle? We sang about it. We participated in the communion of celebrating that victory. But today the challenge is walking in it. I want to give you this challenge as we close today. Maybe you got some fog in your life. It's been clouding the vision of what God wants to give you. God wants to clear that fog, and he can do that. But we have to be willing to let him come and give us that fresh new start. When you give him permission to do that, he'll clear the fog. When the sun shines, the fog disappears, and you get clear vision. Amen? Will you pray with me this morning, Father? We simply do ask for that you would just give us clear vision. Lord, today as we come on Easter Sunday and celebrate what this is all about, Lord, it's about you sending your son so that in our places of being lost, we can be found. Lord, you sent your son to die so that we could have a place in eternity, so you could be with your children forever. And so, Lord, for that we say thank you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we pray today that your light would shine in such a way that whatever the fog is that's in our minds, it's in our hearts, it's in our lives, that your sun would shine in such a way. Lord, will you clear that fog in our life and in our hearts? For some of us here today, we're stuck in a rut and we don't know how to get out of it. But Lord, you want to give us a fresh new start today. Maybe you're here today and it's a relationship with God. That's your fresh new start. Maybe you're here today and you know God, you love God, you've been walking with God, you're calling yourself a Christian, but you know that you've not done anything for him lately. And God says, I want to clear the fog. I want there to be life. I want you to have a clean slate that has a fresh start that isn't just full of good intentions, but is full of life that you can walk out. Maybe you're here today and the fog that's there is fear. You know, fear's been ruling your life way too long. And you're so afraid to let go of fear. But God says he's here and he wants to embrace you. If you're here today and God's speaking to you, I'm just simply going to ask you. God's speaking to you, just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I just want to pray for you today. Because you're saying there's that fog and I need that to be cleared. Father, you see their hands and you see their hearts. And I pray today in the name of Jesus that your sun would shine in such a way that you give them vision, that you give them clarity, that today as we celebrate Easter Sunday, the reason you came is so we could be with you for an eternity. But not just that, it's so we could have some heaven here on earth. So Lord, I pray that fog would be cleared in the name of Jesus. Lord, may we walk in a spirit of faith, not fear. May we walk in your love and not in intimidation or rejection or doubt, but that Lord God, your word says, you who set the sun free, we're free indeed. So today, we walk in that freedom and we embrace that in Jesus' name. So Father, we praise you and we give you the glory and the honor. You know, many times people at Easter, they get hung up on the bunny, don't they? Maybe you guys like Peeps. You like Peeps? Me neither, because 1 year I liked them so much, I ate so many Peeps, I don't want to see a Peep again. Some of us make it about the chocolate. Some of us make it about the Easter bonnet. Some of us make it with, anyone got an Easter hat? No Easter hats today? Kind of gotten away from that hat. Make it about the dress, and that's all good. But if we ever make it about something other than what it really is, we're going to miss the whole message that God wants to bring to us today. You know, there's a freedom that he wants to give us. We sang about it this morning, about the chains that are gone and how God wants to set us free. Now I want to encourage you, church, to walk in that freedom. Walk in the freedom that God gives us. You know, we're going to close our service here in just a moment, in just a couple more minutes. They're going to be coming as a few are going to step out in water baptism. Can I just share this with you as we get prepared to do water baptism? If you're here and you've given your heart to the Lord, the Bible says to repent and be baptized. Maybe you've not been baptized. Baptism is just obedience to the Lord. He set the example. He's the one that walked in there and said to John the Baptist, "You baptize me," because he set the example. And when you come to the waters of baptism, it's a bearing of the old and a raising of the new. So we celebrate this morning as those come for water baptism, because there's a desire to bear the old and raise the new. This morning, as we come to waters of baptism, I'm just going to ask, would you just share your name? And if there's anything you want to share, feel free. What's your name? Garrett Clark. Garrett Clark. You're stepping out just in obedience to Christ. Yeah. I tell you what, God loves you with an everlasting love. You don't have to have him all figured out. You just have to trust him. You take the next step. The word of God says, let his word be a lamp unto your feet and light unto your path. Just let him light the next step and then obey. So, Garrett, this morning, as we come to the waters of baptism, we celebrate with you today. And this morning, we baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There you go. It's a fresh new start. It's a fresh new start. Good morning. Would you just share your name with us? And if there's anything else you'd like to share, feel free.
Angie.
Angie?
I'm very pleased
to be able to take on the Lord's Day. Aww. So thankful for all of you. As you come to the waters of baptism and you step out in obedience to Christ, we celebrate with you this morning and we baptize you today. In the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you just share your name in a three-point sermon for us this morning? Celebrate with you this morning, Brenda, as you come to the waters of baptism and just stepping out in obedience. We baptize you today in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's kind of fun up here because people don't quite know when to go down, and they're like, now? Now? Have some fun with it. I tell you what, it's such a joy to see you as you come to the waters of baptism. Would you share your name with us this morning and anything that you have in your heart?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mary, as you step out in obedience in the waters of baptism, this is a burying of the old. As you bury the old, it stays buried. Don't go dig it up. Don't go fishing where there's no fishing signs. And Mary, today, as you come to those waters of baptism, we baptize you today. In the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me this morning? If you felt the Lord ever prompt your heart to step out into the waters of baptism, please let us know. It's just about obeying Christ. This is not about impressing anybody. About obeying him. We would want to celebrate with you today. Tonight we will be having praise and worship. If you'd like to join us for that, come and worship our Savior. God bless you. Have a happy Easter. You are dismissed.